Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and what the hell are we doing here?
We're talking wrestling.
Nice. This current wrestling?
No.
Oh, good. Nicer.
Not if we can help it.
Now, this is going to be our positive show. We're going to stay positive on this episode.
Well, we're going to stay positive at the end. It's going to be very hard to... Well, I guess we can remain positive in light of a tragic situation, I guess. But WWE this afternoon announcing the death of Brad Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Brad Armstrong.
51 years old.
Yeah. And no word yet as to what he's died of. 51, it could be anything.
It was, yeah, I guess, I mean, kind of the only thing that's known is that they said he went to the doctor for something last week or 2 weeks ago, recently anyway, and then was just found dead in his house. Yeah. So
I'm not sure what he's been doing the last few years of his life. Of course, I guess he's probably best known for his time in WCW.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we talk all the time about, guys like Tyson Kidd right now.
Yeah.
And sort of job for life, but Brad Armstrong was widely revered as the best, the most underrated worker in wrestling.
It's certainly the best of the Armstrongs.
In the early 90s, in that 90s period, it was he was basically a jobber to the stars.
Yep.
When he wasn't getting gimmicks like Lasertron or Arachnaman. Just underneath the mask, or was he what's his name? Bad Street.
I think that was him. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. In the Freebirds there when they had Big Daddy Dink, Oliver Humperdinck, and such too. But I mean, yeah, he was a great worker. Just not much on charisma, which is why he kind of was where he was.
Well, but, I mean, I think for me personally, the fondest memories of him, and I think probably his career highest success was achieved when he was the Candyman, Brad Armstrong. And, he was teaming with people like Too Cold Scorpio and Buff Bagwell and Tom Zink and these kind of guys around that era in the tag team division. But that's where he showed his most personality, and that's where he looked like a good worker. Again, he wasn't a large guy. We talk about his charisma. He was in WCW towards the end, working a gimmick where he was doing, because his brother is the Road Dog.
Oh,
and
right.
And his gimmick was that he was told by upper management, why can't you show more personality like your brother? Why can't you show more charisma like your brother? Be more like him. So he started imitating Road Dogg and being Road Dogg, but making fun of him, which was just odd, and it didn't come across well, and he didn't do it overly well.
Well, he was like a stoner, basically. I forget what his name was.
Yeah,
he had a name
it's just another bad gimmick. And those are kind of the two gimmicks where I think of. It's like, the Candyman, I don't know. It worked. It was just a nickname, really. It really didn't. Other than his tights and it didn't really affect his personality or style in any way. But I think that's probably his best stuff. And then when I saw that, I towards the end, I kind of thought that was just spitting in his face. But it was Russo.
Well, I was gonna say it wasn't even meant as spitting in his face. It was just Russo
stupid.
Being
not
a retard.
Realizing what he had.
Well, no, I think he did realize what he had. Because what he thought he had, and what he did have, was a great wrestler, but not much on a personality.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you have a great wrestler,
you can't push a wrestler.
No, well, that's exactly it. I mean, you can't if you can't figure out a way to use a wrestler. Well, I guess you're a booker in the modern era.
Well, that's just exactly. I mean, then that's since for this millennium, really.
But Armstrong, somebody that I was really enjoyed his work, and I'm sorry to see him go at 51. That's same age as Barack Obama. It's too young. So
Well, you see, and part of the tragedy too. They always say, the biggest tragedy is when a father outlives his son, right? So Bullet Bob's still kicking around.
Oh, Bullet
right?
Bob's really never dying.
That's true. Actually, I think Bullet Bob is a zombie.
Yeah. Well, he's still in better shape than 99% of the wrestlers out there. So.
Oh yeah, remember that arm wrestling match he had against Conan? I think it was 3 Live, and he was just
Exactly. That wasn't that long ago. He was in his 70s then. Scott Armstrong.
But and then Dog and Scott Armstrong, the referee, are you know.
Who's the other? There's one more Armstrong brother. There's four of them.
Because Brian is the Road Dog, Scott Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Keith Armstrong, Ross Armstrong,
Owen Armstrong,
Owen Armstrong, Brad Armstrong.
I'll look it up.
Steve
Armstrong. Okay, there you go.
Steve.
There you go. So.
Yep.
Anyways, do you have any other memories of him, or?
Well, as I said, I mean, his just again being a great worker, always in that kind of just said you knew you were going to get a good match, but you knew he wasn't going to win. So that was it, and you know, it's certainly sad. So it's a name that again you recognize, probably the WCW, almost the WCW version of Barry Horowitz.
Well, I mean, he probably got some more, like I say, the Candyman character. I think he was, I'm going to look it up. What the frig? I mean, like I say, it's always fascinating. Radio, when we're.
Horowitz wins.
Horowitz wins. Are we talking about, are we talking about Kelly Kelly? Horowitz?
No, wins.
Oh,
I said
okay.
Wins.
Okay.
While you're looking that up, I just a couple of quick notes while we're in a.
I didn't realize this is last in 2006 when ECW was around. He worked as a trainer and wrestled on the road.
He was going to be one of the guys that when they were doing tours, and they were going to do the ECW tours with guys like. Derek Nykirk and such were going to be the Heyman security, and rather than the Bashams, they were going to have those guys out wrestling and bring up the developmental guys to work house shows. Yeah, then that would be, say, you know, Elijah Burke, let's say, might be wrestling Brad Armstrong in a show. Maybe even a CM Punk type thing, right, to get these guys going. Yeah. So
I mean, seeing here his, I guess his greatest accomplishment, PWI Rookie of the Year, 1982. He was the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion a couple of times.
Well, I was going to say, Brad, the Armstrongs were really kind of a cornerstone of Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So they did give Brad the sort of the ball because of his ability to try to become a top babyface in that Southern territory mode. And again, just the matter of he just didn't have that it factor.
It was a one time he won the WCW Light Heavyweight Championship once. And
I was going to say, I thought that was that as bad streak?
I don't recall, but he also has and this is probably more impressive. 1981 Rookie of the Year tried with Brad Rangins? How do you pronounce his name?
Brad Rangins.
And
yeah.
And that was in the Observer. And also, he won the Observer Award in 1987 for Most Underrated Wrestler. So, and those are legit awards, unlike PWI.
What? Yell votes on those.
Yeah, but anything else to say? Like I say, I want to move on because I want to spit in his memory. Because even though I watched him in WCW, other than say he's a great wrestler, I don't know what else to add, and I can't say I'm overly familiar with his career from beginning to end, nor as I say, I kind of want to just be a little more positive on this show, so
and that's it. Okay, so we can move on, because yeah, we do, I mean, it's a tragedy, we want to be a little more positive. Yeah. So I'll move on to the next note. Hurricane Sandy.
A little more positive.
Just a couple quick notes. SmackDown may be preempted on Friday because of a Hurricane Sandy benefit show concert that apparently may air on a bunch of networks. So SmackDown may not even air this coming Friday because of that.
It's taped, though.
They'll put it on the website.
You put it on the website. But I mean, maybe even put some of the matches on Superstars or whatever. And I don't know. It depends on what you do. Yeah. But, yeah.
But, yeah. And Taz missing Impact because of the storm as well. So not to be there. But that's sort of the couple of the quick Hurricane Sandy, how they've affected wrestling. But staying on Impact, Bound for Glory. Looking at 20,000 buys for Bound for Glory. That beats Lockdown.
Yes, so that's the biggest of the year, but that's hardly at the level of their height. You know, it's getting 40,000-50,000. I mean, even last year, what did Bound for Glory do?
I want to say like 30.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
And I mean,
so anyway, that's,
Joe and Angle did close to 40, didn't it?
40, to, I think maybe even 60 at one point for one of their. That might have been the Lockdown Cage deal that got the biggest one. But yeah, one of their matches did 60.
Yeah, probably. But the point being, yeah. That said, like you say, it's a return and it is Bound for Glory. I mean, considering all the promotion.
Yeah. Well, it's one again. They peaked too soon, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Because you think back, you think now. I mean, when you look at Aces and Eights, and you think of how we were talking about Aces and Eights back in the summer, and excited about the revelation of what it could be. Essentially, what Aces and Eights is end up being is a backdrop for a Bubba Ray D-Von feud.
When you say it like that, I couldn't be more disappointed. And we're recording this just as tonight is just as, because we, I can't be around later tonight. We're recording this just as Impact's hitting the air here. I am looking at this. Last year's Bound for Glory did between 35 and 40,000. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's because it didn't have Hogan wrestling, brother.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, it probably meant something last year. Because other than that, I mean, you're still a slightly better product. I mean, at least you had a good period in there, unlike when Bischoff was around.
Well, but and even last year's Bound for Glory, though, you did have that very good Bobby Roode Chase story for that. I remember the Bobby Roode Kurt Angle build was very good.
Oh, you know what? I am wrong. Yes. Just to put a correction in here. Last year's bid between 20 and 25,000.
And that was
the
last year
before that. 2 years ago, did between 35 and 40.
Right on 10, yes. 10, 10.
So they're basically matching what we saw last year.
Okay,
right. That's a little more interesting.
And that. I guess somewhat makes sense, because if I compared this Bass Bound for Glory to the year before, maybe equal interest, maybe a little bit less interest this year than last year, but not by a lot.
Exactly. I mean, they kind of, I say they peaked too early, but the truth is it's not that they peaked too early. It's that they never quite peaked and then went down. Because if it peaked too early, there was a moment there where it was ready to really take off, and it never quite got there. It could have peaked at Bound for Glory if they're not doing things like Joseph Park being kidnapped and being held and no police showing up and them getting contracts out of it and all that type of stuff. It just is too ridiculous in this day and age for fans to buy.
Well, I'll be honest, it seemed like about a – that it was –
when I think of the failure of Aces and Eights, that's the moment I go to. It's Joseph Park being held for so damn long. Like, that to me is the thing that for me personally,
yeah,
killed it beyond fixing.
I kind of look at the fact that, to me, it really boiled down to the fact that there was probably one too many pay-per-views.
Yeah, that too. That too. And, you know, well, it's just, so, it started to lack the logic. And that's why when we're going to talk about things that are wrong, we're going to talk about how to fix them later on. And that's a big part of it. It's just a lack of logic. Like Austin Aries being attacked by the arm breaker, having his broken hand, and then when Bound for Glory comes around, having nothing to do with them. Like it's just all over the map.
Yeah.
And it became obvious. It's like we have a long-term plan. Usually what we complain about is that they don't have a long-term plan. So, you know, week to week, they can kind of figure out what to do week to week, but because there's no long-term plan at the end, it makes no sense. This is the opposite. They had a long-term plan, but they had no idea week to week how to get there.
Well, but I also think that I think they had a long-term plan, but I don't think they stuck
with everything.
I think
they did with Aces and Eights. I don't think they did. Obviously, they didn't with Aries versus Jeff Hardy replacing the Rude and Storm as the top match on the card.
I don't know that D-Von was Aces and Eights, you know, going all, you know, from, I think that was kind of a call. And some of the things, you know, Claire Lynch, you know, Julia Riley, she, you know.
What was her name?
With her whole thing. It was Julia Riley.
I didn't know that.
I know. Well, it's, a lot of people don't. Happy to tell people though. So that's why we promote it, because she wanted everyone to know that Claire Lynch is Julia Riley. So I think that's why she left. They weren't promoting that
is
enough.
She the older sister of AJ. AJ Lee, I mean, not that AJ.
Not AJ Styles. Well, you know, he's from Georgia.
So it's possible.
But, oh, fuck. Nah. Positive show,
positive,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll move to something positive, because now, after it's been sort of come out, the latest revelation, I am positive, as I stated from the get-go, that Hulk Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge were in this all whole thing together, and they just tried to get Hogan's name out there. It's all a work.
You've always felt that?
Oh, day one. I thought this was, as soon as I heard it, and as soon as it come out that it was Bubba's wife, I'm like, oh, fuck, they're just in it together. This whole lawsuit, whole fucking thing, the reason that the police wouldn't investigate them and on all this, I went, fuck off, it's just a deal. So, I've said it on the show.
Yeah, okay. So what makes you sure that that's actually the truth now?
Well, they've settled, and the terms have been sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is the convenient way of not having to talk about it. So it's like, oh, this didn't really work out the way, because we went to Gawker and the lawsuit till the you know, we tried to sue Gawker.com. That got dismissed. Because we can't show any, that we haven't been hurt by it. So we're not getting the millions of dollars that we thought from this lawsuit. So, I forgive you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're done. And then Bubba had to write some fucking apology out. So, yeah. Fuck,
I think you're right. You could be right. I'm not 100% sure. Because they still went to the police. Because they still filed lawsuits. And they can get in a lot of fucking trouble if this goes wrong.
But they're idiots. Like, these people, like, Hulk Hogan is a retard. Like, Hulk Hogan, when I said, I just look at the same guy, as you said last show, I think, that goes on Arsenio Hall, tell everybody, bald-faced, blatant, like, this guy has no, he still thinks that he is Hulk Hogan, and he can just look at someone and go, oh, it's just a work brother. And then they'll go, ha, 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 oh, Hulkster, you kidder. And he doesn't care.
Yeah,
he's a retard.
You know, you could be right. I'm not dismissing it completely. But I do think that there's a possibility that, I don't know. Just like I say, it's very, very risky. And,
what do they have to lose?
They could go to jail for it, I believe.
No, yeah. But then you haul that shit in court. I mean, again, O.J. Simpson could have gone to jail. He eventually did, but not for what he should have gone to jail for.
Nevertheless, I just don't think, I don't think it's quite worth it for them. I'm not 100% convinced.
Oh, I agree that it's not quite worth it. All I'm saying is that they're not thinkers.
Yeah, see, they've made a lot of stupid moves, obviously. A lot of stupid moves. This is...
A lot.
I wouldn't say they're not thinkers. I mean, while you say they've made a lot of stupid moves, at the end of the day, they've also done a lot of... Well, not so... Actually, both of them.
Not lately.
Yeah, I mean, Hogan for a lot of years you would never have thought was stupid. In fact, you would have said he was one of the smartest men. I just can't believe they did that. Like, I can't say that. I could believe they did that, but I'm still not convinced like you are.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Fine. I forgot one note here, just kind of moving there, and it kind of relates to it a bit. But we were talking about Hurricane Sandy and wrestling people affected by Hurricane Sandy. Rob Feinstein, also a victim of Hurricane Sandy. Is the other one that I had written down here, which he's really actually angry about it because he prefers to be blown by a little boy. So that really inconvenienced
him. Can we get sued for that? Well, I can't because I had nothing to do with that.
That's ADDIE at We Talk Wrestling. I'll pretend you said 18, LOL.
Yes.
If you know what? If I wouldn't have told that joke if Rob Feinstein wasn't a pedophile.
Yes. Good.
Speaking of pedophiles, how was your birthday?
Good. I probably had more fun that day than you did.
Oh, yes. Hell in a Cell. Yes, I watched Hell...
Just give me your quick review of the show for me.
I'm drunk, I'm famous, I'm drunk, I'm nobody, I'm drunk, I'm fucking dead. Big fat dead guy in a bathtub. There's your title for you. It was not good. Let's put it that way. It was your average television. It was your Raw, especially now Raw is 3 hours. It was Monday Night Raw leading to the main event. That's all it was. It was, you know, you had your match with Hell No against the Road Scholars. Yeah, it's basically the same kind of match you would see on Raw. You know, your Antonio Cesaro and Justin Gabriel match. Yeah, okay, you'd see that on a Raw or a SmackDown. I mean, it was not bad. It was there. I think the highlight of that was the man they call B was watching it with me. He compared Antonio Cesaro to Paul Orndorff. He goes, this guy reminds me of Paul Orndorff.
Based on what, out of curiosity?
Well, I think the build, the kind of some of the things. He said he clotheslines liked him. I've never really watched Orndorff do a clothesline, but the clotheslines reminded him of him. And when he hoisted him up for the neutralizer there, he thought of the Paul Orndorff pile driver. But that was the extent of it. And B was kind of thinking that this guy's got the potential to kind of have a run at the title with the champ. Never be the guy, but has the potential to have that kind of run, just like Orndorff.
Yeah, okay.
So he kind of sees him like that and, you know, in a similar stature as Paul Orndorff. So, which I thought was interesting. That wouldn't have been the name that jumped out at me, but I can't discount.
No, actually, he probably has a good point there. I hadn't thought of it, but yeah, I mean, I'd say he does.
Yeah, like if he had said the one-man gang or something, right? But, yeah, no, it's actually a pretty good point, so which is odd.
Yeah, especially
so
odd.
Thought I mentioned it, but then farted.
Well, he is your brother.
That's true. But Orton and Del Rio, you know, decent match. Finish kind of looked retarded. They fucked up to the spots at the end and even the finish itself that, you know, when Del Rio jumps up to the rope to do that almost like a disaster kick, Hurricanrana type deal and Orton turned it into an RKO. I actually thought that Del Rio was delivering the offensive move. That's how it looked to me. I'm like, wow, I've never seen Del Rio do that move. Oh, he's being pinned.
Yeah, that is not exactly, a success.
No. So anyway, that was, and then, yeah, I, as I said, I'm just kind of going, the three-way sucked. You know, JR, the best was during tag team, and JBL is talking about former great tag teams. And he says, yeah, like Doom. And Michael Cole looks at him and goes, that's the Legion of Doom. JBL's like, no, Doom, Ron Simmons, Butch Reed. He's like, oh. I'm like, that's the Texas Tornado. That's all I can
think
of.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But I'm trying to, the other, what was the other good one that that they had? Oh, it was, forget what it was that Cole was, he was explaining something to the audience. Like, oh, the title can only change on pinfall or submission. You can't, if you get counted out or disqualified, the title doesn't change hands. And what's his name? JBL's like, we have intelligent fans, Michael Cole. You don't have to browbeat them and explain all this silly stuff. They know what's going on. And Michael Cole goes, well, we actually, every week, we get thousands and thousands of brand new fans that may not be familiar, so I'm just helping them out. And JBL's like, oh, yeah, good point.
Nice. So you have anything else to say about the actual show, though, the actual wrestling?
Oh, fuck. And, well, then you get to the main event, really, right? I mean, that was what the whole show was really. But, well, actually, Big Show and Sheamus had a pretty good match, actually. It was the first time they'd ever wrestled. You know, this wasn't a catch-as-catch-can. This wasn't Angle Benoit from the Royal Rumble or anything. But, I mean, it was faint praise the best match on the show. And kind of the final sequences, you know, that last, like, 3 minutes were really super hot, which you wouldn't think of when those two behemoths are in the ring.
I've heard it described as probably one of Big Show's 15 best matches.
I could see that, yeah.
I mean, you know, you could see that?
I could see 15. I couldn't see top 10, but I could see top 15, okay. Yeah.
Okay, and what about the main event, which I actually did watch?
Thought you wanted me to name the other 14 best Big Show matches.
Go for it.
Uh-huh. I can't. No, but I'm not going to do that because I can't think of any. But I'm just, yeah, then the main event. I mean, like, well, I mean, CM Punk couldn't use a taser, mm-hmm. right? What stood out to me, again, Paul Heyman, fantastic at ringside outside mm-hmm. the cage. You know, why are you doing this?
That was pretty great. He's a human being.
Yes, he's a human being, for
God's
sake.
And Ryback just looks at him and goes, he's dead.
Yeah, that's right. If he dies,
Exactly. And then came out the fire extinguisher.
Yes, that's right, the fire extinguisher. I mean, referee Brad Maddox, you know, I saw that it was there, that he mm-hmm. was there. Which actually made me think of it was going to go the other way, that Ryback was going to win by Maddox being a retard, and Punk would have that kind of out there. But no, Maddox becomes Danny Davis, and or J.R. Foley, or whoever you want to be.
Yeah, probably worse than Danny Davis.
The tried and true, you know, heel referee. And, you know, gives Ryback low blow and you know, and does a fast count while pinning his legs down as well. And, yeah, it's just, I mean, just dumb.
Yeah, well, is that pretty much just what you thought as it was happening? You're just like, this is stupid? I mean, you're watching it live, right?
Well, that's it. I was like, oh. Like, I mean, you're wondering, because there was a lot of intrigue as to how are they going to book this, right? Like, the whole show wasn't even built around, I said it was all about the main event. It wasn't even, it was about the finish. The whole 3-hour pay-per-view interest level really boiled down to, like, the last 3 minutes of the show or 10 minutes of the show is what the whole thing, the majority of people that actually had a curiosity buy, that's what they were buying for with those last 10 minutes. And they did about the worst job that they could do in pulling it off.
See, like, and I'm not sure I 100% agree with that. I mean, you're saying in terms of what? I mean, the finish itself, I think, was terrible. The referee, you and I had fantasy booked a few different ways to do it, and I came up with every single one of them was better than this. This was the worst possible choice. Before that, in the match, though, I thought they did a good job of Punk being the heel and selling Ryback as a monster, and an even better job post match. You know, both Maddox and Punk, you know, after he's being laid out, he's in the ring holding his balls. So it is a little bit of a stretch for anybody to think that Ryback acne would have be injured by somebody hitting him in balls that I'm sure are shrunk to peanut size. But exactly. They dropped. But, no, yeah. They didn't drop. You're right. They didn't shrunk. They shrunk. Shrunk. They haven't expanded. Yeah.
Yes. In the wash.
That explains those tights. But I mean, anyways, I love how they're sitting there. As soon as it happens, and he's being low-blowed, and they pin him, they both run to the door, and they're like, open that up. Open. Get the door open. Get the door. And Heyman's sitting there. Come on, hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Get the door open.
They drop the key.
Yeah, and they're like, come on. You know, just...
Maddox took a hell of a bump there off the cage on the ground.
Well, that was reckless and stupid. And, you know, that...
But a planned spot, I mean...
Not like that.
Again, this is... I don't know. I think this is Brad Maddox getting a job. This is same as what Ricardo did there that one time, doing the back ladder spot.
He's supposed to get thrown in, and it's supposed to hurt, but not be reckless to the point where the guy can get seriously injured. That's not...
I think it was.
No, not like that. Not like that. But anyways, then post-match, and they go to the top of the cage to run away from him, and Ryback gives him the shell shock on the top of the cage. Like, I thought they did. And, you know, and then afterwards, the crowd's chanting, feed me more, and he's sitting there on the top of the cage, which is a hell of a visual. And they haven't been on top of the cage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've been on top of the cage since they went to this new, larger cage several years ago. Like, it's you know.
Yeah. I can't remember, the last time they did the top of
the cage.
They
really did what they had to do to make him look strong, except for the pinfall itself.
Yeah, but I left with a bad taste in my mouth, the show. The finish just left a bad taste in my mouth, whether they did a backdrop or a shell shock on top of the cell or not. And, I mean, yeah, okay, they went off the air with the feed me more, but I... Feed you more what? Feed me more of those finishes.
Well, and you know what else was interesting to me was, and we saw this on Raw as well, now he just has to, like, kind of shake his one shoulder to the rhythm of Feed Me More, and the crowd kind of starts chanting.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't a full success, but, I mean, that's it. I mean, if the goal is to make keep the title on one guy and make the other guy look like he's a killer, they did that.
Well, as much as they did going in, that's what I would say. I wouldn't call Ryback a killer, and I wouldn't call Punk a strong champion at this point coming out of that.
That's one of the things.
No stronger than they were.
And that's one of the things when we're talking about problems and solutions that I want to get into, for sure.
Okay. Because problem solver, and his name is Revolver.
Yeah, pretty much.
But okay, well that to what? So yeah, so that was Hell in the Cell.
And then you had different segments on Raw. Raw was, again, it was just there, kind of. It's 3 hours. It's setting up Survivor Series. They did one thing that's good. They built more for Survivor Series, in the first night out than they usually do for a pay per view until the go home show.
We're just over 2 weeks away.
Yeah. But we already have though one match. They usually don't even do that the night after a pay-per-view.
Well, and you think of a match. This is a 10-man elimination where the teams of five strive to survive. And it's a 45-minute match.
I suppose, yeah.
Right? So.
And do you have one more of those?
Well, I mean, I have
SmackDown?
Two more
yeah,
of
I
those.
Know you do. But do you think that we'll see, and I would agree with you, And I would have had one of them be all tag team.
Well, I was thinking that until they had the Hell No Road Scholars on you know, on either yeah. side. That was my – and I was also then thinking that they were going to do when Cesaro and Miz came out of Kofi. And see, I was thinking you'd have the Intercontinental Champion team against the U.S. Champion yeah. team. That was my thought after they'd done the promo going for the 5-on-5 at the beginning of the show, Survivor Series. I had thought when I saw U.S. That was my original thought was, okay, these guys are going to fight. Nothing's going to get resolved, and they're going to captain individual teams against each other.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then I would have done the tag team one, and I would have done a show, Team Sheamus, right? And with these ones, and I had just thought, as they when they announced Punk's team, and they did the Road Scholar, Road Scholars had come out there. Yeah, I thought, all right, that's great. And when Miz come out, I was like,
I hated the last segment.
So
I hated it, and I'm trying to be positive, I hated it. It was so bad.
Foley got old to me in the opening segment when he started yelling at Punk.
Well,
I thought it really seemed like, why are you yelling all of a sudden? I know you cut a great intense promo when you yell, and it was, but I was like, there's no reason for you to be yelling right now.
Well, but you know what? I didn't even have a problem with that. What I had a problem with was, okay, Punk comes out, Heyman's picked his team. Great. Okay. Right. And this comes back to you know, what we're going at, talking about earlier about the U.S. champion having a team and the IC Survivor Series and all that stuff like we used to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's where I have a problem. So Heyman picks his team and Foley's been picking his team. And apparently neither one of them knows the team the other guy's picking. And yet, by unbelievable right. coincidence,
I know, eh?
He happens to pick Kofi Kingston, and the other guy picks the guy that he was feuding with, The Miz. And hey, he picked the Rhodes Scholars. What a coincidence. I picked Team Hell No. I mean, I didn't know you were picking your team.
You didn't know?
It's just an unbelievable coincidence. He has Del Rio. Oh, my God. I got Randy Orton. What were the fucking odds? And
I know.
This was so fucking stupid. I got mad.
Why did you get mad? I mean, you roll the dice, you don't get that lucky. That's fortunate.
It's just stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, I know. And I just look at, again,
stupid.
I liked the idea of the Survivor Series match. The traditional, as they call it, Survivor Series match. I've always liked that. I always thought that was a way where, I mean, it was never made any sense to me. They went to all these gimmick yeah. pay-per-views, the Extreme Rules and the Hell in a Cell and the TLC. When you had this gimmick pay-per-view from 1987 that you've had for years and years and years. This is the 26th annual Survivor Series. And they were going to drop the name. And they'd given up the concept. Yep. I mean, I remember the first year that they dropped the concept and we got fucking Virgil against Yokozuna one-on-one and High Energy against the Head Shrinkers one-on-one. Or two-on-two, I guess. It was like, really?
Yeah, well, at least we got Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels main event.
That's true. Well, they're not the main event, but that was the perfect team against Razor and...
Well, it was the last match on the show.
It was the title. Yeah, it was the last match on the show. You're right. But, I mean, that wasn't the
main
event.
No, I know what you mean. You're right on that. There would have been so many ways to do this better. Like, if they had... We're allowed to pick anybody on the roster... And Heyman comes out and goes, my first pick is Alberto Del Rio. And Foley counters with, then my pick is John C. Or is Randy Orton. And they had full rights to. Or even just if the general manager or whoever it is picked both teams and that's what they picked. There's so many ways they could have done this better. And then my other issue was, So they come out there and they introduce, first they introduce, you know, Kofi Kingston. You're like, wow, this is the main event? Wow, you just added Kofi Kingston. Wow. And then, yeah, wow. And then you go in and you do Team Hell No. It says,
well, they did the heels first,
oh, yeah,
right?
But I'm talking the other end.
The first, I'm just looking, the first guy that they announced
the Miz.
Was
oh,
the Miz.
Oh, I know. And they were like, what a coup and for I them. Like, I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Or I think it was I think it was JR said a strong start here. I was like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he
really.
I know he's. Yeah. Well, between that and JR going, you know, in all my years, I've never seen a referee do that.
Oh my fucking god!
I'm like, really? Do you've never seen Bruce Hart?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they called him to get that main event booked. Actually, that's, now exactly. That I think about it, a referee and a. And a ball
yeah.
shot. Heel referee ball
yeah.
shot. That is, that's vintage.
That's his two
Bruce
favorite
Hart.
Fucking things as a booker. But anyways, yeah. So, I mean, so Team Hell No comes out, including Kane, the monster. A guy who's almost never lost for his 15 years or whatever he's been there. And then you have Randy Orton,
right.
Multiple time world champion. Hall of Famer.
The most successful. The most successful Survivor Series competitor.
Most successful Survivor Series competitor, future Hall of Famer, multiple-time world champion, youngest WWE champion in history. And then you bring out Ryback. And it's just like, I know you're giving the guy the push and you're doing the right thing. If you make him stand at the top of that cage chanting to Feed Me More, you act like he's the big deal, being the fifth guy announced all the time. Eventually the crowd, even if he sucks, eventually the crowd's going to start to buy into it if you just keep up with it. And he's going to get the reaction. Not that he wasn't getting it this night, but eventually they will. So they are doing the right thing. But it's just really hard for me to believe that that the other team would be more afraid of him than a Randy Orton who has accomplished so much. And again,
well,
to me, it's just like, it's just stupid.
See, what I look at, there's a couple things that kind of, I don't want to say pissed me off about it, but, and I could kind of see where they were coming from if they are going to do this then with the Ryback, but I wouldn't have put Randy Orton in the match at all, in that match. I would have had him in another one, in maybe with Sheamus' match, on Sheamus' team. But the other thing is, I booed as well, along with the crowd, when Mick Foley said, I'm not in this match. And I was like, fuck. Because the whole time I'm like, what about Ryback? He's like, I'm not in the match. As soon as he started talking to him, like, oh, you're going to get your revenge on me. I'm like, 5-on-5 is the perfect place.
I never thought
Foley.
He was going to be in it, though. As soon as Orton came out, and it was all the other guys who they're feuding with, I was like, and because they found an excuse to keep Cena away from Punk, with no real explanation. Just to be with Ziggler, you know, I knew Ryback was going to be the guy, not Foley. I never thought Foley was going to get in the ring.
I had thought he was until they had named had five guys standing there and Ryback wasn't there, and then I kind of realized, oh well, Ryback's got to get in this. You know, I guess Foley's out, but. I mean, to me, as I said, that would have been the perfect time, place to have Foley in as a 5-on-5, in, out, pinned, done. I mean, just...
Yeah, it's exactly how you
know,
do it, but it was pretty obvious. I never thought they were going to go in that direction. Just because it's how you do it doesn't mean that's how they would.
No, but I never even gave it another thought all night that... I thought, oh, good, well, Foley's... I mean, I was actually interested in... the Survivor Series until Foley was out and Ryback went in. And now I have less interest in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially since I pretty much know Ryback, and maybe Ryback and Orton, but probably Ryback's going to be the sole survivor.
I would say Ryback and Orton, yeah, that
would
make sense.
Yeah, so
I mean, I could even see Kofi added into that. I mean, it just... You know, you don't.
Well, I think you. I mean, I don't know. With what they're doing with Punk right now, I could picture him. I could picture those other three and him. You know, I mean, it's pretty. Him just walking out is kind of what I figure. This can't be your main event. It can't go off last. It just can't.
Well, I mean, Cena's obviously. It looks like Cena's going to fight Ziggler one-on-one.
That shouldn't be your main event either.
And, no, but the thing that I get to is, again, this is if Cena and Ziggler captain teams, I would be great with that, especially when fucking John Cena's coming off
he's
an injury.
Not, yeah, apparently, under the European tour, he's in the ring against Ziggler, but not doing much.
And, I mean, if you're going to have, now that you've given the tag teams, two tag teams are in the, you know, the main event, or the Punk team and the Foley team, you've got guys like Cena can have Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara on his team, you know. Primetime players can be on Ziggler's team, you know. You've got options there that, you know, Antonio Cesaro can be on the heel team, and I don't, I mean, you could even have, I guess you, with Cena, you don't want to have Santino, I guess. But, I mean, you've got options on either side. A returning Christian, I don't know if he's even ready to come back. Or Mark Henry's going to be coming back. He could play a role in the Survivor Series on one side or another. But, I mean, it doesn't look like – it looks like they're going to do a Sheamus Big Show one-on-one rematch and Ziggler and Cena, and that this may be the only – Survivor Series match on the show.
Okay, but you know what? I'm okay. Well, I'm not okay with that, but I am okay with a one-on-one rematch for Sheamus and Show, because I think that should be the main event. I think that should be a gimmick match this time.
Hell in a Cell?
I don't know. Not a Hell in a Cell, probably, but I mean something. I think that would be interesting. So... yeah, I mean, I'd go in that direction with it. I'd be comfortable going in that direction with them.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I
– because I just don't think anything else
can
be a main event, and it's still a world championship. And you know what? They had the best match on the card the other night. So.
Yeah. I see Last Man Standing where it's a war and Ziggler cashes in.
Something like that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
You know, but this time, okay, so but make sure this time he doesn't tell us he's going to cash in. Unlike Hell in a Cell where he guarantees it.
What's the opposite of that then?
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to do. You're right.
Yeah. So, positive show. But that's my thought. I mean, if it's me, I'm booking like 3 to 4 Survivor Series matches. I mean, if you book 4 Survivor Series matches, and again, start to finish with entrances is 40, 45 minutes. Let's say 40 minutes or 45 minutes is easy because that's 3 hours right there. 4 Survivor Series matches.
Yeah. Well, that's what the original Survivor Series were. And I don't even mind 3 or four Survivor Series or even 3 Survivor Series and 1 main event matches one-on-one. That's fine.
You know what? Do that then. Do the Big Show, like you said, a Last Man Standing Big Show, Sheamus, and then do 3 others, you know, the main event Survivor Series one. Do a – the only thing is, I mean, you'd have to do a Ziggler-Cena one, right? And then you don't have another issue. So – It would just be a clusterfuck one, which is where at least if Sheamus and Show captain team, they have the issue, right? And so that's the only thing. I mean, because Lord knows we ain't doing a 45-minute Divas one.
No, not in this day and age. Again, I mean, you could have done it maybe 2-3 years ago, but right now I don't even know how many Divas they have that are actively working.
But there's – yeah, I know. Beth Phoenix, thanks for coming.
And again, that's another one I don't want to be – negative. I really don't, but that was stupid. That she lost the match, and Vicky gets mad, fires her. So the problem I have with this is...
But she won a match.
But yeah, good point. Yeah, she won a match. Wasn't impressive enough.
That
gets fired.
Yes.
My problem...
Well, you know, the only reason that made sense to me is because Beth Phoenix is now fucking Vicky's ex-husband.
That's true.
See,
Edge, you're right.
We're not talking about Eddie.
But in storyline, ex-husband. But but my problem with this is, so Vicky fires her. So why can't Booker T hire her?
I know, that was what I was
wondering. That's my issue. Well, it's just, again, it's, and like, now it's you that continuity. That. It's those little things that are really bugging me right now.
Well, the thing that bugged me when you're talking about Booker T in that vein, and you're talking about Beth, that was my thought with the AJ thing. Mm-hmm. Like, why the fuck are you sitting here getting berated by Vicky when you just walk over to Booker T on Friday and you'll go, yeah, you're hired,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, like, it's just stupid.
That's true. It is stupid, and that's, you know, but we're going to be positive.
It's positively stupid.
So let's... All right, do you have any other little notes we want to get to here?
Just a couple of quick things. Lillian Garcia was hit by a car.
That's not positive.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's not quite well. I mean, she's home, but she's not well. We don't know that she's going to 100% recover, is actually the word.
Yeah, and I don't know from what or what, so details are sketchy, but we'll keep that posted. Here's a good one. We'll have to have him on to talk about this. Have you heard about Jake the Snake? Jake the Snake Roberts is living now with Diamond Dallas Page. And DDP's plan is he's working on a reality show of Jake the Snake's comeback. As Jake the Snake currently is over 325 pounds, and DDP is every day got Jake the Snake doing DDP yoga, it's not your mama's yoga, and is going to have him lose weight in order to make a comeback.
How old is Jake Roberts?
I believe he's 57.
That's it?
No, he's got to be older.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay, maybe 67. I don't remember. It was something 7, I thought. But anyway.
You know what? It'll probably be an entertaining show. And if anybody can do it, it is DDP, because he is a positive cat.
Yes, it's a positive show.
he is 57. Holy shit, that's it, huh?
Is he really? Okay, good. Yeah, I thought I read that. He was 57.
Think about that. I mean, it's 20. So how old is that? He's 30 in the WWE.
30?
He looked older.
Yeah. I was going to say, he was 30. I mean, you think of, I mean, we talked about this as a 26th annual Survivor Series, and Jake was in the first one.
Yeah, that's crazy. So.
At 31 years old.
Yeah, he'd already been around the WWF for a couple of years, and, you know. But anyways, I mean, the thing is, it'd be great for... It'll be a great infomercial for DDP yoga if he pulls this shit off.
Not your mama's yoga. Yeah, exactly.
I still prefer calling it YRG. Yoga.
I know. I was
for regular guys.
I was saying that was YRG.
It's DDP yoga. Doesn't have the same ring. It's still good. It's not quite the same.
DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
Yeah. All right. So any other notes you got there?
In developmental, Ben Sasoli has debuted.
He would be
now
who?
In
Pac.
He would be Pac.
I knew you were going to say that.
Pac.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Ben I never saw a lot of Pac. I saw a little bit of him. You know, I can't see him fitting into the WWE. But we'll see. He's a good worker.
Yeah.
It's another smaller guy they're bringing in. I like that.
I was like listening to his clone.
Yeah.
Right?
Tupac. Oh, I mean X-Pac.
No, Tupac.
Him too.
You knew him. You knew him. Weren't you Biggie?
Biggie's not that big.
Well, that's true. That's true. Earnings report. Should we talk about the WWE
Do you want to do that?
No,
because we want to be positive. Let's mix this up, because while we've been going on here, I've been preparing a game. And since we just talked about X-Pac, he's one of the people we did with here. And let's play a game. We haven't done that in a while, so I've been doing that. And this game is basically I'm going to ask you to a singles wrestler who's also had multiple tag team championships. Okay.
Oh, I forgot to mention that I 3MB. They have a new song.
Do they?
They do. They have their own song now. So. That was, I thought I'd mention, because we talked about how it was still doing the one-man band thing. Now they have their own song. Right. So He's Slater. He's Slater and his rape gang have their
How does that song
now.
Sound? What kind of song is it?
It's like a rock. It's a rock song.
It needs to not be a rock song. It needs to be an 80s heavy metal hair band, glam metal band.
It kind of is. It's kind of like a Guns N' Roses Poison-y kind of song.
Okay, all right. If that's what it is, that's cool.
Probably done by Michael Hayes.
All right, so anyway, so it's a game. Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to take somebody who's generally considered a singles guy, who's won tag team titles, though.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, you'll get bonus points for telling me how many tag team titles they've won. If you haven't got that, I'll give it to you, and then you have to tell me who their partners were. Let's see how good your memory is. Folks at home, feel free to play along. We're going to open up with John Cena. Now, I'm going to mention this. It's only going to be tag team championships, both tag team championships in WWE. WWE or World Tag Team Champions will count, and any WCW World Championships will count. No other federations or titles. I only am sticking to major federations. So, for instance, TNA doesn't count.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. We knew that.
Positive.
Yeah. Positive.
So, John Cena.
But John fucking Cena.
Can you tell me how many times he's been tag team champion?
I want to say four?
Two.
Seven?
Two
no,
times.
Two? Okay.
Two-time tag team champion. Actually, no, that's not true. You're right. Four. Because it's two times he's been tag team, WWE tag team champion, and two times he's been world tag team champion.
World
so can you tell me the four men he held the belt with?
Okay. David Otunga.
Nice. That one you actually remember. That's a tough one. I didn't think you'd get that.
That was the Nexus one.
There is a theme to all this, now that you mentioned Nexus. Not that they're all Nexus guys. I'll give you that. But I'll just tell you there's a theme to his tag team championships. But go on. David Otunga.
Oh, okay. David Otunga. Was he the tag team champion with... the Big Show? Okay. How about Eddie?
One more, you're out.
Ray.
You're out.
Ray Mysterio?
Yeah. He's tag team champion. Dobby Dotunga, The Miz, Shawn Michaels, and Batista. Now, can you tell me the similar theme about all of his tag team champion part?
All of, well, other than David Otunga, those three were all Mania opponents.
Well, yeah. Basically, all of them.
And people he's feuding.
Even Otunga counts as that. All of them were partners he was feuding with or didn't get along.
I almost said Sean because I was thinking, that's why I started with Big Show because I thought they might have been partners that didn't get along.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, let's talk about Sean. Sean, how many times has he held the WWF or World Tag Team Champions?
Am I counting the Jim Neidhart taking the turnbuckle out?
Official championships.
So we won't count that. Official championships. Okay. How many times? Six?
Five. It's pretty...
Five.
Hey, can you tell me the people he's won the title with?
Well, him and Hunter were the titles of DX. You know. Stone Cold, of course. That's, again, partners that don't get along. That was the ultimate partner. I think that was the first, wasn't
that
it?
That might have been the first time they ever did that angle. Along?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, let's see here. Then we've got who else? Sean have been tag team. What do I said? Is it multiple? Is it five different people? Okay. So did him and Hunter were what? Like three time champions?
No, just once.
Or two times.
Well, Cena, right? Cena. Okay. How can you fucking forget?
So we just said
who else?
Cena.
Who's left? Austin, Cena, Triple H. The other person he won it with twice. Austin.
He won a tag team title twice with Ric Flair. It wasn't Marty Jannetty.
That's two.
Okay, so we got one more. One more straw. Oh, fuck.
I can't believe it took you that long.
Yeah, Jesus. Oh, I was going back to the Wayback Machine.
Hey, Wayback Machine. That's where we're going next. if you can do this, if you can get really any of these, well, you'll be able to get one or two. Anthony Gurria, Garcia, whatever, what was his name? Garcia.
Tony Gurria.
Tony Garcia, back in the 70s, won the tag team titles 400 million times. Actually, he was a five-time tag team champion.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And how many? Five times. You're right. You got it here. So,
yeah.
Give me his partners.
Okay. Rick Martel was one of them. Would we have, what's his name here? I'm trying to think. This was in the, did he team with, was he a tag team champion with Pedro Morales? Okay. I'm just trying to think. Are these famous names?
I will say three of them are famous and one is not.
Oh, no, I'm just trying to think of famous names of the, say, of the 70s, right? How about Tony Gurria and Andre the
Giant?
Getting
close, but that is wrong.
Okay. Haystacks Calhoun?
Haystacks Calhoun was one of his partners.
Yeah. Okay. That was one of my other deals. So I got two. What about Frenchie Martin?
Larry Zbyszko.
USA is not okay.
Larry Zbyszko.
The Cruncher.
Or Zbyszko? How the hell do you say his name? I don't even know.
Garcia and Zbyszko.
But yeah, Larry Zbyszko. Rick Martel, they had it twice. And somebody named Dean Ho.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dean Ho was a Hawaiian.
You're right. He was. Yeah, nice. I didn't think you'd know that. Okay. Arn Anderson. Well,
related to Don Ho.
Obviously. You know.
Arn Anderson's got to be a 12-time tag team champion.
Not quite.
Eight?
Not quite. Let me see. Actually, well, not quite. No.
Yeah.
We got seven.
Seven, okay. Seven different partners or
seven times champion?
Okay. Probably four different partners? Maybe five? I'm just trying to think, because...
Five.
Okay. Well, Tully Blanchard,
I'm sorry, it would
obviously
be eight-time champion, my mistake.
Yeah.
Eight times, five partners. So who'd he win the most championships with?
Well, I mean, him and Tully were at least... Well, I mean, I would say him and Tully at least would have to be then
by that
match.
Yeah, they did three of them.
If there were five... Yeah, they would have to do three because they were WCW or NWA, whatever, WWF, right? So we got three. So I got four partners and five reigns to go?
No, four partners and four reigns.
Oh, we said, I thought you said eight.
Yeah, isn't that eight? No, wait, you're right.
Eight minus three
is
five.
Yeah, sorry, seven. I'm tired. It is seven in total, like I originally said. Five partners.
Okay, it's a four and four now. So it's one each. So now we're looking at... I had mentioned the Cruncher and Larry Zbyszko.
That's one of them.
Beautiful Good Bobby. Job. Let's see here. And then did Ric Flair? No, they never did. Okay, because then they had the Paul
Roma. Nice job. Got
Paul Roma, of course, the Horseman. So what do I got? I got one more to go.
You got it. Nice job.
Yeah.
Nice job. All right. Barry Windham.
Beta Windham. Three-time tag team champion?
Three times?
Maybe two? I don't even know. I didn't think he won it that many times, did he?
No. You know what? We're just going to skip him. No, we're not. Let me see. He had five in total. Six in total.
Five?
Six in total.
Wow.
Two in the WWF.
Six. Right,
and four in WCW.
Yeah, the WWF was Mike Rotunda.
Well, five in the WCW. My mistake.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. So Mike Rotunda, obviously, U.S. Express.
They held it. Yeah, they held it twice. So basically, you were looking at NWA / WCW.
Right. And were how many reigns then? You said
five?
Yeah, we
have five reigns, four partners.
Five reigns, four partners. Okay. How about Flying Brian? Oh. Really? Because they were supposed to be a team. And then that's what, because it was Wyndham and Pillman, and then Wyndham got injured or excused himself to go to Signals, but found Pillman a partner that he thought would be great for him, and that was Steve Austin, right, the Hollywood Blondes. So that was to go up against Shane Douglas and was that Shane Douglas and Ricky?
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I mean, just think about that. Douglas, Ricky Steamboat, Brian Pillman, Steve Austin in a tag match for the titles. Back when tag titles and team meant something.
I love that. But you know what else I love? I love country music. I love country girls. I love Willie Nelson. And don't forget about Pearl. Kurt Hennig Wyndham was West Rednecks, yes, against Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so I got, what, two? So I got three to go.
Speaking of Rednecks, yes, Chris Benoit.
Yes, yes. Well, it's splattered. But trying to think of anybody
else. I just meant because he lived in Atlanta and he got burned.
Oh, yeah, burn. But
so who else we got?
But I'm just trying to think of Barry Windham in the 90s, who he would have been 80s and 90s, who else he would have teamed with. I'm trying to kind of go through. Was he teamed with Dusty?
Never. Close.
Never. Close to Dusty. Really?
Actually, not that close.
Was he Dustin?
He and Dustin, he turned Dustin heel. Had it a couple times.
He turned heel on Dustin. Yes,
they had
a couple reigns.
So who else we got here? We got three partners, three title reigns.
Three partners, three titles. Okay, so and again, Barry Windham.
I guess we have two left because Rhodes was two of them. So you said Henning.
Yeah, we said Rhodes.
And you said Rotundo.
Henning, Rhodes.
So you got two guys left. Two title reigns.
Just trying to. Did he win it with? Did he win it as a horseman? Was this as a horseman? Like was it with Tully Blanchard and Barry Windham, tag team champions?
No.
I'm just trying to. Did him and Blackjack Bradshaw?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
You want a hint?
Yeah.
Okay, this other guy was also a member of the Horsemen. I don't recall if they had the title when they're together there, but also a member of the Horsemen in the early 90s.
Would have been Sid?
Good guess.
Luger.
Got it. And this Luger. Other guy also would have been a member of the West Texas Rednecks.
Oh, was it the brothers? Did he win with Kendall?
Yeah. Sean Waltman, X-Pac.
X-Pac.
How many tag team championships does this fucker have?
Oh, God, Russo was booking. 49. No, I'm going to go with six.
That's pretty good. All right. Four X-Pac. In WWF and one in WCW. Can you guess his partners?
Okay. Well, in WCW, wasn't he like an outsider's replacement? So was it like him and Nash because Hall was in no condition to perform?
Technically, he's listed as being a tag team champion. To partner with both Nash and Hall. So I'll give you that. So that's a good job. So we got WWF. Three partners, four title reigns.
Three partners, four title reigns. Well, him and Kane. Mm-hmm. Were they two-time
champions?
Nice job.
Yep.
Him and Kane?
Well done.
No, they were never champions. trying to think of did him and Road Dogg win the titles? Okay, because he was. I'm trying to think now of who the fuck else X-Pac could have teamed with because him and Justin Credible
didn't. I actually am surprised you're not getting these right away.
It's X-Pac. He was always, he'd come in, he was the European champion for so long. I mean, I do remember his thing with Kane. Is it like DX people? Like, is it, okay. How about Jericho?
Nope,
did he win the tag
times
with Jericho?
Wrong.
partners don't get along. Trying to partner Increíble. What about, The Big Show?
No. I'm really surprised you didn't get these. Because this is before before the Attitude Era.
Oh, fuck. So him and Marty Jannetty won the team titles from the Quebecers. Yeah, okay, because I'm thinking X-Pac. I'm not thinking 1-2-3 Kid. That's my problem. And then, him and Jannetty. And then he, who else did he win? He also won the tag titles with Bob Sparkplug Holly at the Royal Rumble when LT and Bam Bam shoved each other. Yeah, as soon as we went to 1-2-3 Kid, I was like, fuck, there you go.
Exactly. All right. We'll go a little off the radar here. How about Chuck Palumbo?
Chucky. Ah, shit. He was WCW champion with Sean O'Hare.
Yes,
there, the natural born Thrillers.
He has a total of six title reigns, but not nearly that many partners.
So how many times did him and Palumbo, him and O'Hare, was it just one, or they were probably two at
just
least,
one.
Right? Just one, okay. Well, then Billy and Chuck.
And how many times?
Three?
Two. So he had else in WCW he won three tag team championships with. You can remember Sean O'Hare, so you would think.
Johnny?
What's that?
Did he win with Johnny the Bull? No, that was Big Vito and Johnny the Bull in WCW.
He was with Johnny the Bull as the revamped FBI in WWF.
Yeah, they didn't win anything. Sean O'Hare and Chuck, we're talking about Chuck Palumbo. So I remember Sean O'Hare and then Chuck Palumbo in WCW was a three-time tag team.
It's amazing that he held the tag team titles with this guy three times. And you're having fucking trouble remembering it. Meanwhile, you got Sean O'Hare. Like, that just says to me everything you need to know about WCW in that era.
Oh, I know. Is it what's a Mark Jindrak?
Close. That's two.
Mike Sanders or Felix Skipper?
Sean Stasiak.
That is the other guy in the National Porn Thrillers. It was the other guy
exactly.
in the name. Coach Kevin?
Ah, shit. Okay. William Regal.
Oh. William Regal. Wow. I have to tell you how many times. Yep. See.
Good.
Four?
Four. All of them in the WWF. I'll give you that.
Really? So him and the Earl of Eaton
were the tag team Blue Bloods. Nope.
Oh, okay. There goes one of my guesses. Well, how about with Squire David Taylor? Did they win a tag title
in
WWF? Okay. No, because they had that four-way. Remember when Joey Mercury got his nose busted wide open that ladder match?
I'll never forget that.
Maybe in that kind of era, but okay. So Regal and Eugene?
Nice. There's one.
I wouldn't call that nice, but okay. fuck. Okay, Regal and Tajiri?
Yes, well done.
Trying to think of who he was. One more partner, okay. That William Regal had one more partner. Jesus, is it like a partner in Craibla?
Huh?
Is it one of those ones where you never, is it like opposites or just like, he could team with that guy?
He could team with that guy. In fact, I can't believe you're not getting
it. Oh, fuck. Is it Christian yet Americans?
No. It's not Christian.
That's Storm?
Yes. Two times.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, because it got bumped
WrestleMania.
Off of
for the
Miller Lite.
Exactly.
Girls.
I couldn't believe you forgot that. Booker T. I'm just going to tell
Booker
you.
Booker T.
He had.
Fuck, like. Eight-time champion with Stevie Ray or whatever.
He's had a lot. Let's just say a lot. Yeah, I mean, he and I'm just going to throw it out there. He in WCW had 10 times. All 10 with Stevie Ray.
Okay, so with Stevie Ray, and then he had Gold Dust, mm-hmm. right? I'm just trying to think of of anybody else that he had it in. How many times did he have it in the WWF?
He had it a total of 4 times with 3 partners.
4 times 3 partners. So I would say him and Goldust time? Really? Okay. I'm trying to think of... the thing is, I'm drawing a blank on who else Booker even teamed with besides
Goldust. One of these I thought you'd get easy. One of them I thought you'd struggle with.
Because, like, hardly any of them... fuck Booker. Like... It's been so long since... Because Booker could just come back for the Royal Rumble, and then... I'm trying to think of what he did when he left. Did he... Because he was King Booker? I don't remember him as a...
This would have been him prior to being King Booker.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't remember King Booker as a tag champion. Did he win the title with Benoit? Okay. So what, do I got two wrong then? Was he a tag champion with, no, he couldn't have been. What about Edge?
No. Okay, I'll just give it to you here. I'll just give you a hint here. I'll see if you can still work this out. When he was part of the Alliance.
Did they give the tag titles to him and Canyon? No, it wasn't a DDP in Canyon. So when he was in the Alliance, Booker T and...
Test.
TNT.
Yes. And right. You'll remember when he got traded. I believe he was traded. Maybe he was drafted, but I think he was traded.
Oh, Rob Van Dam, right?
Yeah,
he was traded with 17 other guys for Triple H.
That's right, exactly. It's like the Dudley Boys and The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. 7.
It's a good guess. It's 5.
Okay. 5-time tag 4 team
or 5 Damn. Times 3 partners.
3 partners, huh? Let's see here. We had... it's... Again, these guys are all like... these are all these short-term... They usually win the tag titles as part of like... to further an angle type thing, right? So it does never really sticks in terms of being, meaningful. Because it's the Nation... I don't think he was a tag champion.
No, he was not.
A member of the Nation. It was after he kind of come and broke away. So this is going to be Rock and Sock connection.
How many times?
Two. I would say they're the 2 times.
3 times.
Well, how many did you say? You said.
I said 5 reigns with 3 partners.
Oh, with 3 partners. Sorry. Okay. So that takes care of the odds, and then there's only 2 more partners, right? So, what about Rock and... Oh, shit. Okay, so we got Foley. I guess that's the obvious one. What about Austin? Were Rock and Austin tag team champion? No? The Big Slow? No. Okay, so I got 1 more guess. Could this title reign be talked about on WWE television now?
No, like, not.
Presently?
Well, actually, I'll say this. Both of these guys, both of them are sort of still wrestling in WWE.
Oh. Oh, okay. So, because I was going to guess Chris Benoit. No. But he's not. So I would say sort of still wrestling today.
In WWE.
In WWE. What about...
Time's up. You're going to say, as soon as I say this, you're going to go, oh, yeah. Chris Jericho.
S.A. Right. Yes, and that one.
Exactly. The Undertaker.
Really, The Undertaker. Okay, well, that, again, that all just makes sense from that era of the way they did
things. Okay, WCW and WWE, Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, booyaka, booyaka.
619.
Rey Mysterio seems, he's, I don't know that I'd have a clue. I'll say three times.
Seven partners.
So him and Eddie.
Yep.
Him and Conan.
Yep.
How about him and yep. Kidman? Okay. Not him and Disco. Nope. Okay, good. That makes me feel better about the world.
Even though you say not him and Disco, that still counts as a guess.
But I, I'm just going through the filthy animals. What about him and Uwe?
You did well. You cleared out WCW.
Nice. And so we're moving on to, those were all the WCW. Yeah,
and Eddie. Eddie was in WWE.
Eddie, yeah.
So three more in WWE. Yeah.
Three WWEs, okay. How about, was him and Jericho tag champions? Okay. So I got one more guess. So we got WWE, we got three WWE tag team title reigns.
You don't get these, you're going to want to kill yourself. Trust me. No, and not Benoit.
Oh, damn it.
As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, fuck, he's going to take that the wrong way. No, not Benoit. I'm just saying that these are ones that you, all these guys are still alive.
Oh, okay, and I should get all of these,
none of these guys
huh?
wrestle in WWE.
None of these guys currently wrestle in WWE, but they're all still alive.
Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
Three guys. I'll give you two free guesses. The clock is on.
The cock is on.
I'm going to talk to my mom today.
Oh, okay. So these would probably be, I'm trying to think, him and Shawn Michaels?
Nope.
No, because we already talked about Shawn Michaels, and Rey Mysterio was one of them. Wasn't Jericho said it was. Oh, Edge, right, okay.
It gives you two more.
Edge, so I got two more to go.
You mentioned Eddie. One of these guys was playing heavily into a kind of a working feud with him and Eddie and this other guy.
Did I say Chad?
He did not, but that's wrong. Batista.
Okay.
And RVD.
How
can you not remember? RVD and him were great champs. They had some excellent, every week on SmackDown, they had just wicked matches.
Excellent.
Against all sorts of different opponents. That was awesome. Stuff. And I'm going to do one last guy, and that's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold. I'll say four times.
Five. Five partners.
Five. Okay, five partners. So, Stone Cold Steve Austin, what? He was partners with The Undertaker on the highway.
Yep.
He's partners with Shawn Michaels. We mentioned that. Then there was the time where Love and Hate stood side by side, and he was partners with
Dude
and Love. So that's what, three? And then how many did we say?
Five.
Five, okay. Five different
five
partners.
Title reigns and five. Technically, I guess six title reigns and five partners, if you really want to look at it the way they did it, but.
Okay. And we said he'd never been champion with The Rock. Fucking tag team now with tag team champion with Mankind?
Nope.
Okay. Trying to think of because he had to give up the tag titles and then he went off and then he won with Taker next. And that's where shit gets fuzzy. I drank a lot.
Back then or now?
Little column A, a little from column B.
Well, think about WCW.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
Pillman.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he and Pillman won both the WCW and NWA World Tag Team Championships. I think they might have been – were they holding it at the time they switched that to?
It is possible.
That's
actually,
why I'm a little hazy on that. So you have one
yeah.
last guy that he held the championship with in WWF. I mean, again,
WWF.
This would have been – they would have been in the World Tag Team or main event pitcher, both of these guys, with him.
Right.
The one guy left. Yeah.
The one guy left. The two-man power
yes.
trip.
The partners that actually did get along. Triple H.
Yes, that were going to break up, and then Hunter blew out his...
Squad.
Yeah.
All right, man. Okay, let's move on and be a little positive.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about, I don't know.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Not with you.
What? No.
Let's talk a little bit of, what are the problems in WWE right now?
Oh, good God. This will be the first 10-hour episode. Well, I mean, the problems with... what are the problems with WWE are pretty much...
Give me a problem
much,
and
I think,
give me a solution.
Me, okay, the writers, fire them.
Okay.
And honestly, if you want to, we can talk about how they don't have... They don't know how to make stars, or, you know, they don't give these guys promo time, or they don't have the new guys working with veterans on the road.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that I think is a big issue is in FCW,
too many,
you have rookies working with
yeah.
rookies. I mean, I mean, this is where your Christians and Chavo Guerreros and
your Mormons.
But this is where your veteran, your William Regals should be. FCW should be, you know, like 18 new guys and like 12 old guys, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it's not, you know, like, yeah, because you're right. If they just have green guy against green guy all the time, FCW is going to stand for fucking cocksucking wasteland.
Which is what it's standing for, which is what it has stood for. And you look like a guy like Ryback, and I think he's 5 years in the business. Are you
Eight.
Shitting me?
Nope. Eight
but
years.
8 years, up he's until this year, had he ever worked with somebody that wasn't green?
When has he not worked with someone that isn't green?
Well, CM Punk, Ziggler.
Yeah, I guess. But even those guys I'd consider, you know, like...
I know what you mean. They're not the best. I mean, well, Ziggler's pretty great. But, I mean, his job was to put him over and
well,
bump around.
He's a great
yeah.
bumper.
So I mean,
yeah,
but
exactly.
this is it. I mean, all so he was in developmental 5-6 years though, and I don't
yeah,
think in 5-6 years he would have worked more than, say, 3 to 5 matches with somebody they brought down to teach him stuff that was. I mean, he didn't work regularly with somebody who could teach him how to work, which is one of the reasons he sucks.
But you look 8 years, and you look at the guys that he has potential to be going against, or guys like Wade Barrett. And Sheamus,
yeah.
and Kofi Kingston's, and even The Miz, for fuck's sake, that he's already fought. Dolph Ziggler is an example of this as well. These are all guys that he would have had interactions with in development.
Yeah, and these guys all would have been incredibly green then. So,
well, but look at the fact that, yeah, that these guys all started, maybe not together, but some of them after
yeah.
him. And... Have come in, and maybe they didn't wrestle each other down there, but they at least, you know, would have been known each other in the locker room kind of thing. So, like, that's the situation that we're in. I mean, we talked about a year ago, maybe even almost fucking 2 years ago, that when they're talking about Trevor Murdoch
yeah.
being hired possibly and not. I mean, you've got Albert here to be able to work with these
yep,
guys,
that's perfect,
right?
Yeah, but that is exactly you know, it, is – in AAA baseball or minor league hockey or anything like that, if you have mm-hmm. a 23-man roster in hockey, for instance, in the minors, you can have 19 or 20 of them be young guys, and three veteran guys, a guy who maybe played in the NHL and has gone down, and maybe a couple guys who are veteran AHL guys, and that's fine. That's all you need. But wrestling is a different thing.
Well, think of what's that? Bull Durham?
Bull Durham.
The movie Kevin with Costner Kevin Costner. Taught,
yeah, exactly. Kevin, where Kevin Costner was teaching, and his name escapes me, but Susan Sarandon's husband.
yeah, whatever his name is. Anyway, but I mean, yeah, that was the point. Was it this guy who'd been? They kept saying, "Been to the show."
There was one or two, you know, and but that's exactly it, though. I mean, same thing in baseball. If there's mainly developmental, if it's 90 to 95%, you only need two or three guys like that to pass along wisdom. Wrestling is different. You have to actually get in there and work with somebody night after night.
Yeah.
Wrestling, they treat the FCW system the same way as a NHL or Major League Baseball team treats its minor league club or its double-A club. And you can't do that. It is a different animal, and they need to treat it differently. So that's one problem, and that's one solution.
Well, the other thing about it is that, again, when they're bringing in guys, roster guys, it's like Damian Sandow, and it's Brodus Clay, and it's guys that just left Florida. Well,
no, and this doesn't do any good.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, putting guys like this on NXT against these guys doesn't do you any good because it's really not. I mean, I know William Regal finally worked with his name escapes me. Dean Ambrose. But it should be a lot of William Regals, and William Regals should be working with these guys 200 nights a year.
Well, and then there's plenty of guys out there when you think of a Val Venus
exactly.
and as we talked about a Trevor Murdoch, and that's what you use Tenzai for fuck's sakes.
Like I say, if you have 18 guys, maybe you only have 18 guys in developmental, and right now they have 25, but maybe you only have 18 guys and 12.
They
probably have that many, yeah. I bet you they have 12.
Well, I would think they have more than that.
Okay, but let's say they have 30. And right now they're going, okay, we have 30 guys, so we have 30 prospects. But you might have one or two who become good enough. I'd rather have 18 guys and 12 veterans and have 10 guys who become good enough. And again, solution.
I'm thinking of four guys off the top of my head that are good enough right now. Five if you count Ambrose. So that's a pretty good six when he gets back and you got Bray Wyatt.
But Bray Wyatt in the ring isn't good enough. It's just he's developed a good enough personality.
That's true.
You know, it's a different thing. And Dean Ambrose is good enough all around. Seth Rollins is good enough as a worker.
In the ring,
yeah, not outside of it. I mean, guys who are really ready. I mean, it's Ambrose.
Chris Hero,
I don't think is ready, even though I think he's better than Castanola. It's because I think he's still, I think he needs another little while to fully develop this new character.
Yeah, I think the Ascension is ready as well.
It's maybe.
As tag team workers, they are. You couldn't bring up Connor O'Brien. As a singles, but tag team, I think that it is a different thing.
But again, who are they working with? The Usos. Are the Usos terrific? Yes, for green guys, they're terrific. But the Usos had only been in the business like a year when they got brought up to the roster.
That's right.
So this is the problem.
So that's a problem. There's a solution. Hire more
veterans.
Right?
And it doesn't matter. Maybe pay a little more, but get them in there and work with those guys regularly.
Okay.
So that's one. Okay, so now you're back to fire the writer. So what's the solution?
The problem is the writers. The solution
is fire. That's
true. Because you could just show up to TV one day and be like, "We fired all the writers. We don't know what to do. Can you go out and just cut a promo Punk for 15 minutes?" And then to have a match with whoever. Yes, and this show would approve. So I mean, the reality is you just have and I don't even think you need you don't even fire all the writers. You fire all but three. And we talked about a solution. Even if you want to go take it one step further, is you actually get some wrestling people involved. I mean, you have to in this day and age have Hollywood touch. I think that's why Michael Hayes has been so successful in transitioning back and being on that creative end is because Michael Hayes understands wrestling from a territorial perspective. He went up through the ranks, been in WCW, been Kendrick's in a whirl, but he also understands the entertainment aspect of it. And he's able to bridge both the wrestling and the sports entertainment stuff. And I think that's why he's been so successful. I don't know of, I'm trying to think of someone else that, I mean, because as much as we talk about Heyman, and I mean, Cornette's a pipe dream, but you talk about, you know, you have Michael Hayes, you could have Paul Heyman. I mean, I don't know who else would have that necessarily.
Well,
have,
I mean, maybe you're talking about it from a creativity.
I mean,
obviously, when I see the finish they came up with, all those people, and that's the most creative finish they could come up with to the Hell in a Cell main event. That to me says they're not creative, and you know, but that is their job. Yeah, but here's my point about all this. I would say that one of my main issues is the unbelievable continuity issues. And we talked about how the continuity issues with Vicky being hired as with AJ being hired as GM was continuity issues, followed by Vicky replacing her with further continuity issues. And that's what comes with too many writers. It's when you get the large group that they have now, and the fact then that nobody's ideas gets filtered through, and everybody's still throwing shit against the wall on the last minute to book the show 2 hours before it's supposed to go on air. Mm-hmm. This is what you end up with, is all this continuity issues, and it's so many people that it's like they talk about Saturday Night Live and Jay Maher and you know, Jim Brewer and these guys. They talked about how, when they're at Saturday Night Live, what you would do is you would go in and pitch your idea, your sketch idea. And everybody would sit there and pitch. Mm-hmm. And the point was to try and get yourself on air, your idea on air, and how hard it was. And how hard it was to break through. And how when somebody else pitched an idea, no matter how good it was or how funny it was or how much you wanted to, you wouldn't laugh. Because if you laughed at their idea, it might mean that somebody would think it's good and it wouldn't get on. And how demoralizing it was, and is. And it's that same idea there. I mean, everybody, they get demoralized. They have all these ideas. Nothing ever gets on. When so many people are fighting to get an idea through, nobody's idea actually gets through because everybody's cock-blocking each other. And I think that's another issue. So you got the continuity and you got that.
Especially Stephanie.
Yes, and more so now without Kelly Kelly around. So. I mean, that is an issue. Fire the writers, I agree. Or just go down if you – yeah, I prefer fire the writers, but certainly the huge teams, it doesn't work.
Yeah, this massive staff of people is just – yeah, it's just an ego stroke and, you know, it's a thousand monkeys on a thousand typewriters, right?
Yeah. I mean, every now and then it'll turn out something that you can read, but often it just turns out to be shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got the Ryback promo from Monday. So, but no, I think that's another one is reducing the booking bureaucracy. I guess is the.
I
best
think that's
way
a good
to
way
it,
to put
right?
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if that we have hire some more veterans. To me, it's a further revamping of the developmental mm-hmm. system.
That we always thought we're going to see. We've seen steps, but not enough.
Well, and I think we will get there. I mean,
I don't see them not treating it like. I think it's improved. I still don't think that they're not treating it like I say, like a AA baseball team, and I don't think that's ever going to be successful.
The best example that I can give, because we talked again probably this time last year, we didn't talk this time last year, but a year and a half ago now, that
this is show 101.
Triple H.
So and we took 3 months off a year ago. So yeah, and we've been doing it a year and a half. Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, so we talked about Triple H and the changes he was going to make to developmental, and we kind of said, holy shit, well, we'll believe it when we see it kind of thing. But we also said that – he also said the other thing he wanted to do was tag teams first. And we have tag teams now, I think, you know, largely – I don't want to say because of his influence, but certainly he's had a hand in doing it, as he's got a hand in everything that goes on now. But it took a long time for that to happen, you know, from when he said – fuck, we're going to bring tag teams back. Here we are kind of a year and a half later, and we've got tag teams. And that's something relatively
simple. But I would
say
there's a difference, though, in that Vince doesn't want tag teams, and Vince is kind of more hands-off with the developmental.
Well, yes, but at the same time, there's a lot more things that go in. There's a lot more people that have to be hired or do things and communications and adjustments. There's a lot. I mean, to get Lance Storm set up on a WWE developmental deal is a little different than, you know, let's put Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater and Drew McIntyre together as a unit. Right, it's a little easier than that, right? So there's some things.
Yeah, but relatively quickly, it has been the tag team thing. 4 months ago was the shits. It's relatively quickly they put it together.
Yeah. Well, the ball has started to roll, I guess, right? And a lot of things kind of come into alignment. And I think one of them was a hot team in Bryan and Kane. And then it was just a matter of, well, we need to feed this.
Was it Kane that spanked Brian's ass? That was hilarious.
Ass, yeah, on the way out, yeah. Go get him. But, yeah, there was
no.
That. And I mean, but then... Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no. But the Rhodes Scholars... Yeah,
I mean, a lot of stuff
you know, were, yeah. are so. But that to me, is the thing, is sort of a developmental... you know, turning, like you said, it from single A, double A, triple A ball to a more territorial WWE just owns
yes,
the
exactly.
territories, right? Something that Shane McMahon wanted to do in different countries.
Exactly. Right? Now, I'm going to say to you, I think a problem is that they don't 100% understand what draws well right now. And what I'm talking about is that I think they're taking, without realizing it, they've managed to take CM Punk. Keep the belt on him, turn him heel successfully, give him a manager. I mean, when the two of them are hugging before he goes in the ring, that was hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Get him good heel heat that I didn't think they'd be able to do. And yet, in doing so, instead of making him a bigger box office draw against The Rock and against John Cena, prospectively, I think they've managed to actually make him a weaker box office draw. And this is because now he is no longer a guy who is... Before, when he said, I'm the best in the world and I've held the belt for 300 days to do it, he backed it up.
He's the best there is, the best there was.
Exactly.
The
so now you got the legend, The Rock, coming back to take the title against them. It's like, fuck, I don't know if he's going to take the title against this guy. This guy's that good. It's the same idea of, it's the same idea of what is the UFC matchups that really people want to see the most. It's Anderson Silva versus Johnny Bones Jones. One of those guys isn't an undeserving champion. Both of those guys are awesome. And it's, hey, who's more awesome? And I think they've been successful and they've done what they wanted to do. But really what they're turning CM Punk into is Ric Flair, that he's good enough to win if he wants to, but he takes the shortcut anyways. And I just don't think in this day and age that's the way to sell your biggest match.
See, the difference with Ric Flair... is that Ric Flair would still, on occasion, win his matches clean.
Which is why it pissed you off that he was cheating so much. Because you knew he was good enough.
Yes, because he would go on the house shows on the loop and he'd beat, you know, Steamboat or Ricky Morton or Dusty or whoever cleanly. And then, like I said, on the big shows, he'd usually cheat. Because those are the ones that everybody was watching. But, I mean, they did build up...
But it was a different era, too. It was a different era.
In it. Well, it was, but what you've done when you were doing, as you had mentioned, is when CM Punk was the equivalent of Bret Hart, taking on all challengers, all comers, ready to go, a fighting babyface champion, didn't get his respect again, similar to Bret Hart, and turned the heel. Let's look at Bret Hart. When Bret Hart turned heel, he was still fighting guys and winning matches, fighting a gold dust
fighting
and winning.
Fucking
and
Steve Austin, you know, beating him clean. And
Vader.
Yeah, he still was. As a heel, he was still the best wrestler. It's just now he was a dick and you know, a whiner, and you hated him for it, for the way he was bitching.
And that's... Punk is now, you talked about Flair, he's the Miz. They've just taken that Miz role that he was... going leading into that WrestleMania that he always brags about, and that's now Punk's role. is he gets a referee, or a referee screws him out of fucking Ryback.
That's exactly it. And this is why, like, I say this is the solution. Like, he has to beat Ryback clean.
Okay.
Maybe in a month, maybe in 2 months, at some point in time before Royal Rumble, he needs to be the guy to beat Ryback clean so everybody goes, you know what? He is great, and now he's going to face The Rock.
I think my solution is that he needs to beat the
Ryback,
the
and maybe
he needs
Cena
to be
clean too.
Well, I was going to go with
Orton. Would be good, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the Ryback on
I would
Raw.
Agree with that. That's actually where I would go too.
And Orton
because right
TLC.
Now he against the Ryback is not going to be for the next year or two the money that Punk is against The Rock. It's just not going to happen. So since that's your money, that's what you do. You legitimize him right before his money matches.
Do they have
and if,
his...
If you want to have a rematch then of Ryback going on a tear and the rematch is at WrestleMania, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think... And that's going to give you enough time to get over Ryback's new nickname of Big Daddy Cool. Because that's exactly who he reminded me of. When they were talking about putting the belt on Ryback, and they're talking, I'm going, oh, fuck, he's Diesel. He's not Goldberg,
yeah,
he's Diesel.
That's probably good, and the Diesel was the worst drawing WWE champion.
Well, almost.
Until JBL.
Until.
And JBL, by the way, yeah. People didn't buy, was a guy who was a tag team wrestler and getting pinned until he had a new gimmick for 2 weeks and got the belt, essentially, you know?
Yeah, well... That was the problem.
Well, it took a long time before he started to become legit.
He debuted a new gimmick and was awarded a title match, essentially, and then won the title from that. Yeah, that was way too soon. I remember that. I'm going, this guy is an awesome U.S. champion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, that's – and now when I look at, that we need to develop – new stars on television, right? That's the other thing is their mm-hmm. depth issue. Because even then I was trying to come up with, now that they've done these tag teams and we've got Cena on one side and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, I need two more people on the babyface side, and I'm having trouble coming up with.
It's true.
It
has been for too long, and we've said this before. You have a very small handful of main eventers, and then you have mid-carders, and you don't have upper main mid-carders.
No.
That is – yeah, sorry. Somebody else is trying to call into my Skype here, so I'm just going to ignore that. We'll keep going. But that's a huge, huge issue is that they don't have that upper mid-carder. I mean, the perfect example of it is – look at the everybody put into this Survivor Series main event is apparently an upper mid-carder.
Well,
and that's their idea of an upper mid-carder. So The Miz, Kofi Kingston, Del Rio, this is upper mid-card acts, and they aren't.
Rhodes
and
Sandow.
And they're not within the eyes. So the fact that you go from main eventers like Punk and maybe Orton.
The thing is, I don't mind in the Survivor Series.
Well,
I've
no, in the Survivor Series, it's common that that Hulk Hogan would be teaming with guys. He's the main event. Yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow and Paul Orndorff, who are mid-card or whatever. Raw. Yeah, that was common. But the difference is, this is all their superstars, essentially, on Raw. This is all their upper mid-card guys. This is all...
Well, and you say on Raw, I mean, you throw Randy Orton and Del Rio in there. I mean, other than Cena and Ziggler, who's the center, could captain another one. As I said, you could do the prime time in there, but there I can't think of
any
other. Then I'm going to Broditz and such.
No,
right?
I mean, that's it. It is if in their mind you have six guys who are main events, maybe seven, and then after that your upper main event becomes guys like The Miz, you got an issue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have an issue with The Miz being a kind of in that upper mid
if he was,
area. It's just a,
if he was to the crowd.
Yeah,
same
exactly.
With Ziggler. If he was to the crowd, it's not.
Yeah. And again, that just goes back to the way that they have book these guys. What they've done, as I said, I mean, they've you have to bring in. It's all going to be new guys. I mean, you're going to bring up guys. You know, if you bring up a Dean Ambrose and don't fuck him up, or I mean, the way the Ryback was getting there is that he's new, he's introduced, but he's never. It was a relatively slow progression.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost them. After. I mean, it was shortly after WrestleMania last year he debuted, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, he's beaten the jobbers, right? And then he's beaten two jobbers, and then, you know,
he'd
and then it's
three,
like
and he
JTG.
Yeah, it's JTG, but that was exactly it. You missed a step. You went right from JTG to getting a world title match. You didn't get the chance where you beat the upper mid-card guys to – I mean, there's always been the guys – I mean, with Ric Flair, there was still the guys who were upper mid-card, the Tully Blanchard who you'd beat to get ready for Ric Flair. Or –
well, you beat Jake the Snake to
exactly.
get ready for Hogan.
I was
going to
say Hacksaw,
Hacksaw, same
and
thing,
and that's
right?
what they're missing right now. And number one, they're missing it
yeah.
anyways, but they're especially missing it with not having the guys. I mean, they're missing it. They didn't book it that way is what I mean.
The thing is that they kind of have it in that – I mean, when you look at it, the booking was so quick, though, in that Ryback just beat Miz, and then he beat Ziggler, right, on –
It felt rushed.
Well, it was rushed. I mean, it was – I mean, the thing with it – I mean, we looked at a couple – you know, even a month ago or so when Ryback interrupted Miz TV, mm-hmm. right, and threw the couch or whatever. And it looked like Miz and Ryback for the Intercontinental title at that point. And it's like, okay.
That was logical.
That's right.
Give him that and let him have it for a few months.
People are comparing – Ryback's potential to the Ultimate Warrior
something.
Because of but got to remember that the Ultimate Warrior cemented his legacy against Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 to win the WWF title, but also to defend the Intercontinental title. He was the Intercontinental champion going into WrestleMania 5, and you know, and WrestleMania 4 he just fought Hercules. I mean, like, there's no, I know things move faster now, so you could say one, you know, the SummerSlam he was Jinder Mahal. Well, now he should be going to the Intercontinental Championship though, and doing that for, you know, till next SummerSlam or what have you, and then maybe you've got him ready. But again, the other thing is, and I heard Dave Meltzer talking about this, you know, like 8 years
That's
though,
crazy.
Right? I mean. 8 years in, this is how good he is. I mean, so it's people are talking about the Ultimate Warrior. I'm thinking the Warlord.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly it. That was one of the names that I thought of. When I watched him in that match, that was one of the guys I definitely thought of, the Warlord.
The Warlord, yeah. And that's, I mean, it was just, you know, nothing wrong with the Warlord and the Barbarian is the power of
the Warlord
couldn't
work as a solo act.
No, exactly. And, I mean, him getting Davey Boy Smith maybe ready because it's just a couple powerhouses, but that's not your upper mid to your main event. That's your –
Wasn't
your
that match two?
Going – Huh?
Wasn't that a WrestleMania match two or match, something like that?
I don't think it made the video cassette, but, yes, it was a Mania match, yeah. But it was in, like it was like an opener
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But no, I mean it was, you've got to get these guys ready and established. And I said part of this is if they keep up with the tag teams, that will help. But right now, what they're like, and I think of guys like Titus and Darren, the primetime players, right? Sin Cara, you know, in terms of these tag teams, Rhodes and Sandow have that tag team potential. You know, when you're talking about. The Usos or the Primo and Epicos, okay, not so much, but
no,
it takes all kinds. So not everybody with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty or Bret Hart Jim Neidhart, right? So or Davey Boy and Dynamite. So I mean it's or the Rougeaus. You know, you think of all those great teams that we had in the '80s and that one of them transitioned to do singles in the '90s, right? And all four of those teams. So, I mean, you have that potential to do that. And Edge and Christian are great examples in this recent age.
Right
I mean,
now,
Bully Ray. I mean, all these guys. Yeah, right now. I mean, it's the Hardys are separate. You know,
a lot of them transitioned into being a legit draw.
Well, yeah, and some, you know, exact comparisons. And that's what they need now, is that they need to get those tag teams going so that you've got guys in 5 years that can that can take off.
All right. How about TNA? What do you see as some of their problems?
Well, their director yells cut too soon.
Well, I mean, part of the problem, let's face it, is Hulk Hogan having any say in the creative and Eric Bischoff having any say in the creative still hurts them.
I think it's Eric Bischoff, because Eric Bischoff was gone for that beginning of that when the TV was getting a bit better and Hogan was, you know, was putting Austin Aries over and things like that. And then you got to then it seemed like he come back and here we are again. We're just back to the
I still think Hogan deserves some blame here, but it is mainly Bischoff. So you got to get rid of Bischoff completely. Yeah. Bischoff needs to be gone. The biggest issue I have with TNA is just that it feels like they need an editor. It feels to me like they need that filter, that person who says, here's your booking ideas. I like this. I like this. I like this. How are you going to get there? And when they come to you and say, we're going to have Joseph Park kidnapped, they go, nope, stupid, or nope, bad continuity. Go back and come up with something else. Go back and come up until you get there. And it feels like that's what they're lacking, is they don't have that editor or that filter who they can trust.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about continuity. I mean, it's a matter of they kidnapped Joseph Park. Then they kidnapped Hogan and Sting. Hogan and Sting were released. Joseph Park can rip handcuffs off a guardrail.
Stupid and continuity. This is what it is for me. It's not about the pacing. It's not even about the matches. It's about the stupidity. When somebody says, oh, we're going to have Jeff Hardy and we're going to read his thoughts, somebody needs to be saying, that's stupid, so we're not going to do that. Come up with something else. And that's all you have to do. And I feel like that's...
And now it's time.
I feel like that's
now
my issue.
Now it's time for deep
We were bitching.
Jeff
A lot of
Hardy.
People really enjoyed Bully Ray versus D-Von in the dueling promo last week. But you and I were bitching about the continuity.
Right.
And a lot of people were sitting there going, what a great TV main event Hardy and Angle had. But we were so put off earlier by the little things like them yelling cut and that breakaway, or by Hardy in that opening scene, hearing his mind. We were so put off by the stupidity of that it filtered a negative view for the rest of the show that we never got over, and we never got to enjoy that stuff. And so, I mean, this is what's hurting for me, hurting TNA.
Well, and it's, again, when I look as to what they were doing in the summer, and that's when they come, is that they were an alternative. We had Kazarian and Daniels, the World Tag Team Champions of the World, and Austin Aries, and you had even Bobby Roode there. And these are all, for lack of a better word, homegrown guys that. And you had AJ, and I mean, we talk about the Claire Lynch thing, and I mean, how stupid the whole concept and idea was, but when you had AJ doing his role, when the key players were doing their role well, and they had that last man standing match at Destination X, Pay Falls Count Anywhere, last man standing, whatever it was, at the pay-per-view, and it was great. I mean, you had your own guys, and Hogan wasn't being Hogan and saying, well, if I was healthy, I'd beat you, Aries. But
no, exactly.
They're
telling
right now,
Joseph
brother.
Park, now get out of my office. And like, he's gone back to being Hogan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I mean, you had guys in that summer, and they said you had that intrigue of the Aces and Eights, which they held on to too long. But you had Bully Ray and Joseph Park doing a great job, and we talked about how every week you seemed to have something different, and you didn't have to have every guy on every show. It was always rotating the things that they were talking about, and so that's what they need to get back to. I said they've proven that they're able to do it. It's just a matter of having a direction. And right now, coming out of Bound for Glory, normally they say Bound for Glory will set us up.
Well, they say they have six months worth of storylines with Aces and Ace.
Hogan,
well, that's true.
Did.
So it was bullshit of the week.
Week. But I mean, that's the thing, is that what you've got is you've got D-Von and Bubba Ray right now. You got your other Aces and Eights guys. Yeah, okay. I mean, even like some of the decisions that they've got, when you look at their champions now versus their champions then, And Harvey, as I said, you had homegrown guys. Now you have Jeff Hardy, RVD, and Chavo Guerrero are your champions. And, I mean, he's teamed with Hernandez. But, I mean, those are your – so now it's like, oh, now it really feels like – well, I guess now you have a TV title. But, I mean, it's these guys that it's like I don't really want to see anymore. I mean, Jeff Hardy –
even when
you
were looking at – even when they were looking at who was going to challenge Hardy for the belt last week. Ken Anderson, not homegrown. Yeah. Bully Ray, sort of homegrown at this point because I think they've actually beaten – any longer, yeah. But still WWF tinge. Kurt Angle, still WWF tinge. And James Storm, one of their own guys. So, you know, again, what you know, that is the point. You're right.
That's
you're right.
Why that, and that's why it was time for Deep Thoughts by Jeff.
Is there anything else you could think of as a problem with TNA that you can offer a solution to then? What's the solution to this?
Well, I mean, again, the solution is just going back to utilizing, being an alternative, utilizing their homegrown guys.
Use the WWF guys. You know what? The WWF would always bring in guys from elsewhere to put over their own guys, not the other way around.
But, I mean, the other thing, as I said, is that that you've got these homegrown guys, so use them. And you know, everything will just be fine.
Agreed. All right, any other problems and solutions you got for TNA, or are we just about done? We've gone quite a while here.
I was going to say, I think we're probably close to being done.
I think that's it for
done.
Me. I was actually supposed to leave a half hour ago to go somewhere, so.
Oh, shit. Really? What time is it now? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Okay. Well, then, let's just wrap this sumbitch up. We can talk about the earnings on next
show. Yeah, we're
going
to have to get to that another show because we kind of got off and it was a fun show regardless, but we'll get to the earnings on the next show, and hopefully it won't be too long before we get a chance to talk again because I am anxious to get into that.
Yes, yeah, well, we can we'll
figure something out. Yeah,
anyway,
this week's things have gotten a little screwy, but less life.
It is. So that's no worries. Long
time.
We'll figure it out. But, All right. So, well, we're WeTalkWrestling.com, Twitter, at WeTalkWrestling. We are on iTunes and Stitcher and all that other fun shit. You know, just Google us and you'll find us no problem. Let's see. What else? I'm Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I'm Mo at We Talk Podcasts. And, of course, We Talk Podcasts, sister site for We Talk Wrestling. That's about it. I think I got nothing else. I'm hoping it'll get better from here. And I'm OUT.
All right. Well, then, that's going to do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Boobs.
Tatas.
Stuff like that.